Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John of Capistrano. He was proficient in civil and ecclesiastical law at the age of 29. John was named governor of Perugia, Italy, while attempting to broker peace in a regional war. He was captured and imprisoned. St. Francis came to him in a dream, and upon his release, he embraced radical poverty as a Franciscan. He studied the preaching art under St. Bernardine of Siena, and after one sermon, listen to this, after one sermon, 100 of his listeners applied to the Franciscan order. 100. In his role of papal diplomat, John worked for the unity of East and West at the Council of Florence. He died in 1456 after inspiring and leading soldiers in a battle defending Belgrade against the Turks. Man with quite a background, yes? A man who put God first. That's what's happened with the saints, brothers and sisters. A lot more of us could become saints if we simply put him first. But as I've said to you so often, it's so much of our lives are me first. Let's ask God. Ask God, give me the courage to choose you first in the daily circumstances of my life. What does God want me to do is one way of putting God first. But to turn to him throughout the day and say, may everything I think and say and do this day be for your honor and glory. And give me the grace to see when I fail that I may repent. It's that simple. It's hard to do because we're so caught up in the flesh. We're so caught up with all our desires and our hopes and our dreams and our plans and all that kind of thing that God is pushed into a corner. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before the judgment seat of God and have God say to me, I gave you grace to follow me more closely, and you chose lesser goals than union with me. I don't want that to happen. I'd end up with a good amount of time in purgatory. I don't want that to happen. Do you really think about this? Because each of us needs to. Where am I going? To whom do I belong? What is my purpose in this life? Don't allow yourself to be pulled to and fro by all that the world holds out to you, all it dangles before you, all it tantalizes you with. Don't go there. Just say no. It's hard. I know that because it appeals to the flesh. It appeals to what we human beings just want. Brothers and sisters, we need the prayer of the saints that we may learn how to put him first. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 22 says this, brothers and sisters, you were at that time without Christ. You were alienated from the community of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have become near by the blood of Christ. Is that true in your life? Have you gone from being at a distance to being close to the Lord? Have you accepted his grace, his invitation? For he is our peace. He made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and sojourners. You are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. He's speaking to the whole body of Christ, but it's true for us as individuals. We are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. If I am in the state of grace, no mortal sin that I haven't repented for, if I'm in the state of grace, I become, can become, a kind of living tabernacle. Think about that. Psalm 85, the Lord speaks of peace to his people. And what brings us most peace is to know who we are and to know where we're going and to know the God of heaven and earth who seeks to shepherd us and care for us. That's the happiness that nobody can take from us. What the world gives us as happy passes or it fails. But what God gives us endures forever. The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him, and salvation along the way of his steps. If we follow him, the psalm tells us in another verse, if we follow him, truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. Kindness and truth shall meet. Justice and peace shall kiss. Imagine yourself as a living tabernacle. I know you say, well, I can't imagine. But think about it. You carry the presence of God within you. Doesn't mean that every word out of your mouth is some passage of Scripture, but it means that your goals are always tending toward what God has asked of us and that we are faithful to him, repent when we fail. If you are on that trajectory, you're going to come safely home. But we need to make choice. You can't drift into heaven. It won't happen. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 to 38. Jesus said to his disciples, gird your loins, light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. So we need to be ready. Candles burning brightly. The right clothes on us, the garment of salvation. We need to be ready. Ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Do you ever think, what if God came today? What if God appeared to the world today and said, this is it. Sheep go in this direction, goats go in that direction. What if that, just think about that for a minute. Where would you be? I don't want any of us to be in a position of saying, oh my goodness, I didn't take it seriously, or I wish I knew. I had no idea this is what God had planned. I don't want you excluded. I don't even want you delayed in purgatory. Most of us will have to spend some time there, but more and more and more, turn your life over to God. Say, Lord, I want what you want. I want what is first in your heart to be first in mine. I want to make all my earthly decisions in light of what you call me to and what you ask of me, what you want of me. Brothers and sisters, God, you can't imagine what joy you bring to the heart of God. What joy you bring to the heart of God when you say, Lord, I do want you to be first in my life. I'll fail a lot, but I'll get up and I'll try again. I want you to be first. You, your word, your truth, your commandments. life in you, my relationship with you. It's not just obeying rules by a long shot. It's entering into a relationship of really knowing God as much as we can on the face of this earth. Opening your heart to him. He loves you. He loves you. There was a little section of a story by a Benedictine sister who has been in religion now for 17 years. And she writes this little meditation that I want to share with you. I was of the Jewish faith. God was for me more a reality than an idea. He was the conviction of a presence in me of someone who loved me very much. No one had ever spoken to me of this before I was 15, but I had known it from the time I was 4. This presence attracted me and recalled me very forcibly just when I was thinking least about it and in the most unexpected places. Outwardly, the idea of sanctity and of the transcendence of God had been given to me very early by a grandmother who, to prevent me from doing wrong things and to recall me to good, used merely to lift a finger and turn her eyes toward heaven, either silently or speaking in solemn tone, those famous words, "Listen, Israel, the Eternal is our God, the Eternal One." I was absolutely subdued by the attitude as well as by the words, and from the age of 4 or 5, that put me or called me back again into the infinitely holy presence of God, which irresistibly compelled me to good and to silence. Nowadays, in order to recall myself to the presence of God, I often have recourse to the memory and to that of my grandmother, who lived constantly in the presence of God and prayed without intermission. Now, we're all different and we're all given different sets of gifts, but ultimately what is written here is what God wants for all of us. He wants to enter into intimacy with us. And it will be different for different ones of us. He relates to you. You're not, as I've said before, you're not one of billions. You are uniquely you. There is no one like you. And therefore, God can be seen through you in a unique way and reach people that perhaps other people can't. God has this whole thing orchestrated. But what he's asking from us is a willingness to say, Lord, I want to put you first. I want to put service of the gospel in my life, whatever your state in life, whatever it calls me to, I want to serve you. And I'm not talking, brothers and sisters, this can show itself in outward projects and works of mercy and all of that kind of thing. Yes, it can do that. But what I'm talking about is the disposition of your heart, your soul. Are you willing to say, Lord God Almighty, my life belongs to you. Lead me in the way you would have me go. And then say that every day. May God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.